the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the Feast of the Maccabees, among the other feasts that we celebrate today. It is the Feast of the Seven Brothers who died in the Old Testament around 146 BC, put to death because they would not compromise the law of God. And they were put to death in front of their mother, and when that was done, their mother was put to death as well. Now, I'd like to speak to you about the Maccabees today because it has many parallels to our own situation. The whole problem started when a group of Jews, among them a high priest, introduced pagan culture into Jewish life. This was around the time of 200 BC. Now, you must understand that the Jews always held themselves to be different from the Gentiles around them, and their obedience to the law was to keep them pure of the pagan influences. And thus, this was considered by the pious Jews to be an evil compromise with the pagans, a changing of their religion substantially. And then a certain Antiochus, who was a pagan, sacked Jerusalem and came into power in that whole land. And this king put into law the paganizing of the Jews under penalty of death. And many Jews consented to offer sacrifices to idols. Antiochus forbade the holocausts and sacrifices in the temple. He forbade the celebration of the Sabbath day and of the festival days. Antiochus also commanded altars and temples to be built to the pagan gods, and swine's flesh, meaning the flesh of pigs, and the flesh of other unclean animals to be offered. He ordered that the people could not circumcise their children and should embrace the filthy pagan customs. And those who would not do these things had to flee for fear of being hanged. And many of them took flight into the countryside. Finally, an idol was set up in the temple in Jerusalem, and they burnt incense and sacrificed at the doors of the houses in Jerusalem. So the pagan gods of the Greeks were worshipped all throughout Jerusalem, including in the temple. And they cut to pieces and burned the books of the law. And they hanged the women who circumcised their children, as well as the children themselves. And if you were caught with a book of the law, you were put to death. These were the conditions in the time of the Maccabees. And there was a certain Mattathias who lived in the mountains, and he had five sons. And he lamented greatly what was happening. And when a certain Jew came to his town to offer sacrifice to the pagan gods, Mattathias took up a sword and killed him, as well as his assistant, and turned over the altar upon which he attempted to offer the sacrifice. And this marked the beginning of a great war against Antiochus, the king who was putting in all of these changes, a war which would end in victory for the sons of Mattathias, these sons known as the Maccabees, which means in Hebrew hammers, because of their bravery against Antiochus and the paganizers. Now there are some glorious events of this time. The first is the death of Mattathias. Shortly after this incident in which he slew the paganizing Jew and turned over his altar, he died of his own old age. But he gave a beautiful speech to his sons before he died. And it is beautiful not only for its intrinsic content, but also for the fact that it exhorts them to courage despite great odds against them, despite the armies of Antiochus. And he cites all of the cases in the Old Testament in which God intervened and saved those who were faithful to him. He says, "Now therefore, O my sons, be ye zealous for the law, and give your lives for the covenant of your fathers, and call to remembrance the works of the fathers, which they have done in their generations, and you shall receive great glory and an everlasting name. Was not Abraham found faithful in temptation, and it was reputed to him unto justice? Joseph in the time of his distress kept the commandment, and he was made lord of Egypt. Phinehas, our father, being fervent in the zeal of God, received the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. Jesus," not our Lord, but Jesus in the Old Testament, "whilst he fulfilled the word, was made ruler in Israel. Caleb, for bearing witness before the congregation, received an inheritance. David, by his mercy, obtained the throne of an everlasting kingdom. Elias, while he was full of zeal for the law, was taken up into heaven. Ananias and Azarias and Misael, by believing, were delivered out of the flame. Daniel, in his innocency, was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And thus consider through all generations that none that trust in him fail in strength, and fear not the words of a sinful man, for his glory is dung and worms. Today he is lifted up, and tomorrow he shall not be found, because he is returned to his earth, and his thought is come to nothing. You therefore, my sons, take courage and behave manfully in the law, for by it you shall be glorious." And his son then took up the sword against Antiochus, and his son was Judas Maccabeus. And he got together a small army, which had to go against the vastly superior army of his foes. And his men became fearful and said, "How are we going to overcome such a great army?" They said, "How shall we, being few, be able to fight against so great a multitude and so strong? And we are ready to faint with fasting today." For Judas had them fasting and praying for victory. And Judas said, "It is an easy matter for many to be shut up in the hands of a few. And there is no difference in the sight of God of heaven to deliver with a great multitude or with a small company. For the success of war is not in the multitude of the army, but strength cometh from heaven. They come against us with an insolent multitude and with pride to destroy us and our wives and our children and to take our spoils. But we will fight for our lives and our laws, and the Lord himself will overthrow them before our face. But as for you, fear them not." And another magnificent event of this time was the martyrdom of Eleazar. Eleazar was an elderly scribe, and he was told by the authorities that he had to eat swine flesh in order to conform with the law. But he, of course, being just, did not want to eat the swine flesh. But his friends said, "We don't want you to be put to death because we enjoy your friendship. Rather, why don't you feign eating swine flesh? Do not eat the flesh of pigs, but make them think that you are eating the flesh of pigs, and thus you will avoid being put to death." And he answered this, "For it doth not become our age," said he, "to dissemble, whereby many young persons might think that Eliezer, at the age of 80 years, was gone over to the life of the heathens. And so they, through my dissimulation and for a little time of a corruptible life, should be deceived, and hereby I should bring a stain and a curse upon my old age. For though for the present time I should be delivered from the punishments of men, yet should I not escape the hand of the Almighty, neither alive nor dead. Wherefore, by departing manfully out of this life, I shall show myself worthy of my old age. And I shall leave an example of fortitude to young men. With a ready mind and constancy, I suffer an honorable death for the most venerable and most holy laws." And having spoken thus, he was forthwith carried to execution. And the most touching event of this time is the martyrdom of the 7 brethren and of their mother. And this is in the 2 book of Maccabees, chapter 7. And I urge you to go home and read the whole chapter. It is a magnificent piece of the glory of God. And I just will bring to you certain highlights of it. These young men were told by the authorities that they had to eat the swine flesh and to sacrifice to the gods and do everything else in order to be paganized. And they refused. And it says that the king, being angry, this is Antiochus, commanded frying pans and brazen cauldrons to be made hot, which forthwith being heated, he commanded to cut out the tongue of him that had spoken first, and the skin of his head being drawn off, to chop also the extremities of his hands and feet, the rest of his brethren and his mother looking on. And when he was now maimed in all parts, he commanded him, being yet alive, to be brought to the fire and to be fried in the frying pan. And while he was suffering therein long torments, the rest, together with the mother, exhorted one another to die manfully, saying, "The Lord God will look upon the truth and will take pleasure in us, as Moses declared in the profession of the canticle, and in his servants he will take pleasure." And one after another, these 7 brothers, each in front of their mother, were martyred in the same way, their tongues cut out, their skin pulled off and fried. And each one of them, one after another, made a glorious profession of faith to Antiochus. And finally they got to the youngest one. And the youngest one, Antiochus, tried to tempt by offering him life and riches if he would give in. It says, "Now Antiochus, thinking himself despised, after all 6 of them had essentially told him that they would have nothing to do with his religion, and with all despising the voice of the upbraider, when the youngest was yet alive, did not only exhort him by words, but also assured him with an oath that he would make him a rich and a happy man if he would turn from the laws of his fathers, would take him for a friend and furnish him with the things necessary. But when the young man was not moved with these things, the king called the mother and counseled her to deal with the young man to save his life." Notice how treacherous they are. "And when he had exhorted her with many words, she promised that she would counsel her son. So bending herself towards him, mocking the cruel tyrant, she said in her own language, "My son, have pity upon me, that bore thee 9 months in my womb, and gave thee suck 3 years, and nourished thee, and brought thee up unto this age. I beseech thee, my son, look upon heaven and earth, and all that is in them, and consider that God made them out of nothing, and mankind also. So thou shalt not fear this tormentor, but being made a worthy partner with thy brethren, receive death, that in that mercy I may receive thee again with thy brethren." While she was yet speaking these words, the young man said, "For whom do you stay? I will not obey the commandment of the king, but the commandment of the law which was given us by Moses." And the young man also was put to death, and then his mother. And this is the feast that we celebrate today. And there are lessons to be learned. Of course, the first is fidelity to the law of God, despite persecution and hardships. There are no frying pans. There are no burning cauldrons. There is only the scorn of the modern world. Only scorn. And yet, so many of you succumb to this scorn and compromise shamefully the truths and the practices of the Catholic faith. And you must stop doing that. You must have courage and bravery like this mother who saw her sons one by one be put to death with cruel torment and finally face death herself. And secondly, we must have confidence in God despite our small numbers. As Mathathias counseled his children, his sons, to be brave and pointed out all of the ways in which God came to the aid of those who seemed to be without hope, like Daniel in the lion's den and the three young men in the flames put there by Nebuchadnezzar. It is God who has victory. It is God who gives strength. It is not the force of men that takes the day. And look at Judas Maccabeus, the way he went in with bravery, trusting in God against the far superior foe. And here again, many Catholics tremble. Look at the multitudes of the Novus Ordo. Look at the modern world. Look at our tiny numbers. And with lack of faith in God, you quiver. Numbers are meaningless to God. Just as time is a meaningless thing to God who lives in eternity, what is the numbers of men to God who is all-powerful and who can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and who raises up the lowly and the weak to do his work? What are numbers? We have to see things the way God sees them and not the way human beings see them. And we also must have confidence in God that he will put aright what is wrong. The young man says that the things that are happening to them at that time, the time of the Maccabees, are for their correction because God is angry with the Jews. He says, "For though the Lord our God is angry with us a little while for our chastisement and correction, yet he will be reconciled again to his servants." And as we look upon the situation in the church, can we not say that God is not angry with us for our laxity, for our lack of faith? And is this not this terrible situation that we live through? Is it not for our chastisement and correction? Yet he will be reconciled again to his servants. And then this young man says to Antiochus, and this could be said to the reformers of the church, "But thou, O wicked, and of all men most flagitious, be not lifted up without cause with vain hopes, whilst thou art raging against his servants. For thou hast not yet escaped the judgment of the Almighty God, who beholdeth all things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.